nothing, no one, anything that compare to you. Lord God, there's no relationship with another human being. There is no car, no house, no job, no title, no degree, no level of success that can compare to you and who you are. Father, we thank you for that. Hallelujah. Let's bless the tithe and offering. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You are the God of Gods. And that your name is I Am. I am all that you will ever need. Father, we honor you today with this tithe and this offering. Lord God, and even with part of that, we will send your word around this world through shoeboxes, through a plate of food, maybe a warm pair of socks, Father, whatever it is. Father, we bless this right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. You may be seated. The super kids are dismissed. Praise God. Praise God. Well, Miss Brenda, you told me a little something there this morning. So last week, y'all remember, we prayed for Brenda. Was it last week? Okay. We've been praying so much here before service. I forget what week we prayed. But her Achilles heel and a bone spur. What happened on, was it Monday, Tuesday? Praise God. So, God moves. Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, you told me that, but we didn't share that with the thing. So, yeah, you've had that for months. Listen, the prayer of faith is what saves people. Oh, by the way, for those of you wondering, yeah, vote no on issue one. No. Vote no on issue two. Didn't know there was an issue two until the other day. They aren't putting anything out there because they want to pass pot to make it legal. So they're trying to slide it in under the radar so you'll pull up into the polls and not know what it is. But yeah, no on one and two. Or you can vote however you want. You deal with the repercussions. How's that? And that's going to be between you and your Lord. Because he created boys and girls, boys and girls. He gave us life, not so that we could kill it in the womb. Okay. Amen. Oh. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know how you wonder if something's a God thing? This isn't our normal week that we ever did this, but yet there are more prayer requests on the weeks that weren't. Let's praise God. Well, let's go before the Lord and trust and believe, and I know God's going to move. I know he is. Hallelujah. Father God, we come before you right now. Father, we are humbly coming before you. We're not making demands, but Father, we are asking. Father, we will demand that the spiritual forces against us will buckle. And first off, right now, Lord God, I will bind the spirit of discouragement. Father, I will bind depression, oppression, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for your spirit of joy, Lord, and as the message you have given me today, Lord, will help, I believe has helped me in a lot of areas. Father, that it will help many as well. But Father, I thank you right now. You're returning the joy of our salvation to us. Father, and I pray right now, Lord God, for those who are fighting it and standing against it, Lord God, for peace in the name of Jesus. And Father, we right now, we lift up our sister Missy to you. Father, we thank you, Father. She is healed and whole. Lord God, that these cold flu symptoms are gone in the name of Jesus. Father, I declare her body free from sickness and disease, and that she is healed and well. We speak peace right now into her body in Jesus' name. And Lord God, you see what's going on with Karen's leg. Father, I thank you right now that you're moving. Father, you're moving as a witness to Karen. That no matter how far she may feel like she has gotten away from you, or how far she just doesn't feel worthy, Lord, that you'll touch her right now. Father, you'll reverse what has been happening to her leg. She will not lose that leg in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And Lord God, you see this young lady who just, her dad walked out on her and her mom. Father, I pray right now for peace with them. Lord God, Lord, I don't know what the situation, but Father, I do pray for restoration. I pray for repentance on any party of anything that had anything to do with it. But Lord, I pray for strength for this young girl and her mother. Lord, that you will move miraculously in that family. And Father, I don't know if they know you or not, but Father, out of this, that they will come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. They will serve you with their whole hearts. Father, I thank you that you're moving right now and that you have given her a friend to reach out, Father, who can hold on and give her hope and a future in that, in Jesus' name. And Father, right now you see the eczema that Nolan is dealing with. I bind that in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you're healing that little boy of this eczema. Father, these steroid creams are not good for him. So Lord, we thank you right now. You're healing that, and he will not have to keep taking these. Father, we pray for patience, Lord, for wisdom on behalf of the parents, that they will help him, that they will see your way through this, Father God, that they will love him, Father, and that you will help them to raise him in this, and raise him, period. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And Lord God, we do take a stand against issue one and issue two, Father God. It is not your will that we kill our babies. It is not your will that we turn our little boys into little girls and vice versa. Lord God, you made us who we are. We are fearfully and wonderfully made by you. So, Father, I thank you right now that every believer, I don't care what city is rising up right now. I call for every conservative in Columbus, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Toledo, Youngstown, Dayton, Springfield, Lord God, every area that voted down any conservative issues to protect the unborn, Lord, right now, for them to rise up. Father, those lazy people, they're sitting back and say they don't vote because they don't want to stand jury duty, Lord God. Kick them in their rear ends right now. Father, they will rise up and they will vote in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We cannot defeat this evil if we just sit back on our hands. Lord God, we can pray and we can believe, but now it's time for us to get out in the polls and put our check mark there. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I thank you that you're leading Cody. Father, he has a request concerning his daughter. I thank you, Father, that you're moving in that. Father, give him wisdom. Father, give him the courage to do and what say what needs to be done. Father, I thank you that he is growing as a man of faith in the name of Jesus. Father, that as he moves closer to you, Lord God, you will give him direction and you will lead him through this. And Father, you see this broken relationship between a mother and a daughter. Father, I can't imagine it. But I know it's got to be rough. It's got to be hard. So Father, I pray right now for restoration for that. But Father, but in that whole restoration, Lord God, may Jesus Christ be what unifies them. Because if not, this relationship will never stand again. So Father, we pray for that restoration. We pray for wisdom, Lord God. We pray for wisdom on the patriarch that has brought this forth. Lord, I thank you right now that there is no power greater than a praying parent. So Father, I thank you that you're moving in that family right now in Jesus' name. And Father, you see Melissa, Lord God, I don't know who she is, but Father, she is fighting for her life right now. So Father, I curse this cancer that's in her body. Father, first and foremost, I pray that she cries out to you if she has not. And Father, and if she has, then Lord God, we continue to pray for her. Lord, we stand against this cancer in the name of Jesus. Every cancerous cell in that body cursed, and every cell that needs to fight it to rise up with strength and victory in Jesus' name. And Lord God, I continue to stand with my brother Harold. Lord God, you see what's going on in his life. Father, we're going to fight. He's a fighter, we're a fighter. So Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, we continue to speak life to his body. Father, anything from this radiation as well, Lord God, that the bad effects of it are cursed in Jesus' name. Peace, strength right now, Lord God. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. And Father God, you know what's going on in our world right now. Father, a week ago, Israel was attacked. Father, we thank you that Matthew landed at 10:30 this morning. We got word. He made it back. But now, Father, our country, we have politicians that are coming against Israel. Lord, there are politicians of other countries coming against Israel. Rise up against them, Lord. Humble them, shut their mouths, bring them to their knees. Father, we bless Israel right now for wisdom, for protection. Lord God, I thank you right now. Their planes may be shot at, but they will not be hit. Those missiles may go through the air, but they will be shot down. Lord God, I thank you. And I thank you for the people in this country who are rising up and realizing what the truth of why we have guns. And so people can't come across our border through the land, air, or the sea and attack us on our holy day. Father, I thank you right now for the wisdom of the United States. Father, I don't care who the party is in charge right now. Lord God, you are the King of Kings. You're the creator of the universe. And Lord God, you are the one that said, the heart of the king is in my hand, and I turn it as a river. You turned Pharaoh's heart, and you also ruled many other kings. So, Father, I thank you right now that you're leading this country because there's a remnant. There are people in this country who are standing up and saying, enough is enough, and we're praying. Father God, for this election, for the leading of this country, Lord God, you see what's going on. The evil that seems to be going uncorrected. Father, we know that that is not the truth. Father, it may seem like the evil is going on. They're getting their way. But Lord, we know it's just leading. Just as Pharaoh came out again and again and again until finally he came out against Israel on the very last time. And you brought Egypt to their knees. Father, I thank you. I thank you that we have that promise through you, that no matter, that though 1,000 may fall at our left and 10,000 at our right, nothing shall come near us. Father, we don't know when or where, what time you're coming back right now. If it's in our lifetime, then we praise your name. But Father, and if it is not, we will continue to stand. And Lord God, lead this country through your light during this darkness. Father, against these drug trades, Father God, every government agency that has fueled this for the finances so that they can keep pretending that there's wars, Lord God, may they be brought low. the human trafficking trades. Lord God, free these people. Create opportunities. Father, those that are even being captivated, those have been taken from their families and being held in a basement in an obscure town. Lord God, deliver them right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. Lord God, that you're bringing this trade, Lord. And there's particularly three drug houses in Marion. We curse right now in Jesus' name. Father, bring them houses to their knees. Father God, no more drugs coming out of there. Lord God, every peddler that's moving through there be caught, dealt with swiftly in the name of Jesus. Father, protection for the neighbors, for people around them who are innocent of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, if people think there's nothing to be praying for, you just turn on your TV for just a blip. It doesn't take much. Absolutely. Joe, would you come up here? Oh, by the way, my brother, we prayed for Joe's stress test the other day. So here's how this has worked for him. He did the stress test. They said, Joe, you've had a heart attack.
I kicked its butt.
But he is going to have some things done. So you're not going to see Joe out on the cross country course this week. So just, he was told no running and no heavy lifting. I don't think you're going to see him in the weight room down there. So, but we're going to, he didn't put anything in there. So, Father, right now, I pray for my brother. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you had your hand on his heart when it attacked, when it cramped and it had its stoppage. Lord, I thank you right now. You're strengthening his heart. Father, we have declared he shall live and he shall not die. So, Father, I thank you right now that even though as they go through these measures, Lord, that you're cleaning plaque. Father, you're opening up arteries. Father, that you're bringing him peace, Lord God. And I thank you, Father, that no matter what the situation is, whether it's students, whether it's athletes, Father, whether it's neighbors, kids, it does not matter, dogs, Father, his stress, Lord, you'll just keep him at peace, cool as a cucumber. Father, I thank you right now that you are healing him, Father. He does not have to suffer. And I thank you for protecting him through that heart attack. Lord, I thank you that he's going to continue to grow and be a man of faith for his family. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, yes. Well, again, happy 22nd. It's really mind-blowing. 22 years. Facebook brings up memories and stuff, and you know, it's brought up several from October 14th, which 4 years ago, right? Yeah, 4 years ago is when the tree tried to take me out. It's like, wow, it's already been 4 years. There's days it feels like yesterday. But God is continuing to move and heal. I have gotten smarter. I buy logs. They're already cut down. Oh, praise God. Oh, but, you know, we've seen lots of things happening for people. There's been a lot of experiences, good and bad, in these 22 years. And honestly, I can say there is no greater thing to have than a church family. Because I will say this, that when that happened, a group of you came and you split and stacked my wood. And might I add, in the freezing rain. Some of you brought me wood out of your own supplies. It has not gone forgotten. Some of you have lost children, parents, loved ones. We all hurt. That's what I love about this family. We've had over time people say, well, I just think they're just being too nosy. Get over yourself. Of course, I wonder where people have been when they lay out a church. When you lay out a church, guess what happens? The devil's coming at you swinging with an axe. He doesn't want you to live. He wants to weaken you. Fight. You know, some of you, we've prayed for him. This man's been getting chemo every day, Monday through Friday, for how long?
6 weeks.
6 weeks. He's been here every time. Vietnam couldn't kill him. But as I asked the Lord, what kind of special message, you know, because there's days I just forget, oh, this is kind of a special day. And I'll try to keep it short because that conference room smells wonderful. And and I did not eat this morning, so we might talk about food for a second. But the Lord just brought something to me as Angela was reading our devotional the other morning. It starts in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Do you know what caught me out of this? Maybe it's been addressed before. He said, I know the thoughts that I think. That's present tense. He's thinking about you right now. When your son died, he was thinking about you still. When they gave you that diagnosis, he was thinking about you. Whatever it is you faced, he was thinking about you. And he's still thinking about you because you have a future in him. So many people give up. I'm just so tired of fighting. Welcome to the stinking club. We're all tired of fighting. But as long as we live and breathe, we're going to fight. There's days that are going to be easier. There's going to be days you don't feel like God's even in the same time zone as you. I know I can't be the only one. And I'm not going to sit up here and lie to you and tell you, oh, I have glorious all the time. There's days I have to say, God. But then I say, he said he'd never leave me. And so I have to call upon his word and hold it close. He didn't go anywhere. I got a day I got to go by myself. The roughest day a parent can have is the day they have to let their kid go. Whether it be to college, the military, a job around the world, job somewhere else. A couple weeks ago, one of my boot camp buddies sent me a message. He was the one that, if he wasn't getting in trouble, I was. Because he was just a hair bit shorter than me, but we looked pretty much close to the same. When one of us got in trouble, the other one went with him just for GP, for moral support. He's the one that got yelled at when I reached up and swatted the mosquito in formation. Conley! And he's like, sir, as you were, Woodell, follow me. You never really want to hear that. But he hit me up the other day with a really long message, and he said, I'm so sorry to do this. He said, but I know you understand. See, he took his daughter to MEPS, which is where the military processes you and sends you to boot camp. He'd been there, probably to that same MEPS. He took the same oath. And the next morning, They processed him, and that evening they sent him on a plane bound for Charleston, South Carolina. And he said, I'm having a hard time. He said, this one more so than the other. His other daughter, she's in the Air Force Academy. He drove her out there. That's more like a college. She's going to boot camp. And so I just had to tell him, I said, you know, it was rough. I said, I've been there. Not only did I go to MEPS, I had to drop my son off. Couldn't go in. Couldn't do any of that stuff. Just had to say goodbye in the parking lot. And it was rough. But God the whole time was telling me, I know the plans. God has plans for Jesse to give him a future and a hope. And I knew he needed to go. It didn't make it any easier. I knew Joshua had to go. Didn't make it any easier. I knew long before he did, or that he would admit it to me, was that he had to go. God has a plan for all of us. It's of good. He wants good for you. He wants it. But there's things we have to do. We have to first off be obedient. You have to be obedient to the voice of God. Verse 13 starts this off. He says, and you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. You want to know God's will? You've got to know God. And you've got to get rid of your preconceived notions of who you think God is. Well, I got taught this, I got taught that, I got taught all this stuff. I come to find out not everything I got taught was wrong, but there was a lot of stuff people didn't know God. They knew a book. God is not a book. He's a being that lives and dwells in us. He's why I can get up every morning. He's why when people come and attack me, I don't rip their heads off and crap down their necks. Because that is who I really am. I'm a destroyer of relationship. You come against me, I will just... But that's not what people saw before. But this is what the Marine Corps brought out. And God had to say, all right, we've recognized it. We've identified it. Now we deal with it. That's why people bounce around church to church all the time. Well, I just can't find the right church. No, and if you do find the perfect church, feel free to leave because you now ruined it. Churches are full of imperfect people. There's not a one of us who has our ducks in a row. I don't care what our status is, and generally the status is in our own brain housing group. It's a little 6 inches of gray matter between your ears. He said, you got to seek me with all your heart. With all your heart is actually this thing right here, not the blood pumping muscle. Not that thing that's shaped like that. Well, it's a heart, but it's really not a heart if you've ever seen a heart. They don't look like anything like that. Where that came from? Don't know. But it's not that. It's up here. You have to surrender all of your thinking, your thoughts, your attitudes, your accolades. That's why Jesus said, if you'd put your hand to the plow and keep looking back, you're not worthy. You have to focus on what's at the end. You know, back then they didn't have GPS and a, you know, nice steering wheel. Now today we got tractors that steer themselves, cars that steer themselves. I'm still not a huge fan of any of it. I'm not a huge fan of electric brakes, not a huge fan of electric steering, electric throttles. My truck shifts gears by a signal. So if there's a signal breakage or the truck takes off running away, I really can't just let off the accelerator because it's electronic. I think I have a shaft still on my truck. I don't know. But there are cars. It's an electric signal. It's no longer a shaft. You're no longer directly connected to the road. You get a break in the wire, you'd be crying out to God real fast. You've got to let go of your mind, your thoughts, all this stuff, and seek Him with all your heart. That means going in not with a preconceived notion that God is mean. That God's just a la 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 la. If we look in the Old Testament, God was mean. Somewhere along the line, we taught that God is just is the ravishing Rondo. Remember him from Bugs Bunny? Supposed to be this big, big bad guy, but he comes out. Yeah, we'll stop there. Because that's what we think of God. The reality is, God is not to be messed with. You can't create who God is in your little mind. And our minds are so minimal compared to who He is. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Well, God said He'd give me a Ferrari. Well, you ain't going to get the Ferrari until you get to know the God. The desire of your heart should be for God, not the Ferrari, not the house, not the fantastic career that you think is just going to make you so happy that when you get to the top, you realize, I'm alone. I got all the money in the world. Now I live in fear. Somebody's going to take it. I got to have more, 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 more. That's our world. More, 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 more. To delight yourself. You want to find joy? Delight yourself in the things of God, not on what you think you should be happy with. There's a point you can stand back and say, oh, yeah, I built that. I do it every time I do something, partly because I'm in amazement. Not going to lie. Wow, I might know something. I don't know, but I'm happy with it. But it's not my source of joy. I'm happy with the accomplishment, but then I go about my life. I live the rest of my life. Okay, yeah, that's great. So what? What's next? I had people, I can't believe you got rid of your motorcycle, especially for what you got for it. Y'all remember my Sanford and Son truck? The truck of many colors? Actually, I enjoyed that truck. Just couldn't haul people around in it. Matthew 6:33. Jesus is saying, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We're still worried about our positions. We want to know that we're special, that we're different than everybody else. You are and you're not. One of the first things my drill instructors tried to teach me, or teach us, was when we got ready for an inspection. You know, I mean, at that point, the highest rank we had actually had any contact with was maybe a lieutenant. And they're not high on the pecking order. But we had a battalion inspection. And that's where there's about 400 of us standing on a parade deck for 4 hours. You think standing in praise and worship's long? 4 hours at the position of parade rest. You don't move. You don't look around. You can't cough. And God forbid you pass out. Standing there. And then the man stops in front of you. Your brain goes empty. You forget who you are. You forgot everything. You forgot where you are. And he wants to start asking you general knowledge. He wants to start asking you what your MOS is. A Why? Because we thought he was special. The drill instructors had done that to us for a month before this inspection. And he said, you remember something, boys. That man gets up wearing his skivvies, puts his trousers on one leg at a time, puts his socks on one at a time. He buckles his own belt. And at the end of the day, he is just like you. There's nothing special about him until there is. I always tried to tell some of my boys, I said, I want you to remember one thing. You are no better than anybody else. But there's nobody any better than you. Because see what the world wants us to do, well, you know, we're equal. Honestly, I have to say that our Constitution is, all men are, yeah, the deck. Sometimes not all men are created equal. I was 5'8". I don't know what I am. I refuse to measure myself. I can't be shrinking, Lord. I didn't start off on the positive end of this anyhow. But I had guys that were always telling me, well, I'm going to beat you. Why? Because I'm bigger. Okay. They didn't. Except for the guy with the bugle stick. He was a monster. Let me tell you right now, getting hit with the bugle stick is like putting a Band-Aid on a baseball bat. He came down right on top of my head. Might be part of the headaches. He won. But I started getting some things. There's nobody that's better than me. But I'm no better than anybody else. That's what keeps you humble. But part of the thing is with God, you've got to put your desires back here and get to know him. I've seen so many people, they knew they were called to preach. So what did they do? They pursued the avenue to preach. I got to go do this. I got to go do that. And instead of working with the people, sitting under a ministry and learning and working in the ministry to learn, people are crazy, man. That's all there is to it. I always like the little thing goes around on Facebook that says, there's always that one crazy friend, and if you don't know who it is, it's because you're it. We go to family reunions and we make fun of people. Oh, they're so-and-so. Oh, they're crazy. They're being themselves. It may rub you the wrong way. But so what? They are being them. I don't want you to be me. I can be boring. And then too much of me is scary. I love my wife, but I don't want my boys to be her. I want them to be who they are. I don't want them to be me. And we have now since realized who has more. Alexis and I were talking about this morning. The kids who act more like each other, the parents. And it's like, oh yeah. Jesse's a lot like me. And we butted heads. He's the one I've butted heads the most. Because he's just like me in a lot of those things. And I look back and I realized what it was. It was an immaturity in me. And it was only until I quit being immature and telling people how much I knew that I started to grow. When God told us that we were going to minister as others have not ministered, we thought, well, how can you minister like that? Well, what are you talking about, Lord? We were the K through second grade teachers at our church. I was the sound technician. She was the choir singer, leader. We had a few things going. I was like, okay, maybe God's. And then God said, go home. Okay, how are we ministering here? You know what the first thing I did? I started figuring out how the pastor was doing it wrong. What a moron. I had no clue. I didn't pray for him. I prayed about him. And it's only looking back, and then after he admitted to me that he knew he wasn't supposed to be there, things made sense. But I still didn't pray for him because I was too busy praying about him, telling God what he was doing wrong, what I would do better. And now that I'm in these shoes, yeah, I was immature. Because I went to the Lord with my own understanding. I'm going to read this because it's not up here. Proverbs 3:5-8. Listen to this. Trust in the Lord with your heart and lean not on your own understanding. If you're giving God your whole heart, you're giving him everything. How smart you think you are, how smart you think you're not, what degree you have. Well, I've got a doctorate. So? So what? I can do what you say you can do. I don't have a doctorate. I could have had my CDL. I knew everything that they know. I drove the trucks. I never went and got one. I could have gotten my electrical license. I didn't want to do that. I don't want the pressure, man. Let somebody else live with the stress. I can do the work. And I got to be careful with that, that I don't get prideful in that. Because then I'm not giving my what I am to God. In all your ways, acknowledge him. If you say that God is on your thoughts all the time, prove it by living it. And he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. See, that's what I was doing to my pastor. I was wiser than him. I knew all. I knew it all. I'd been there, done that. You know, I'd been to NCO school. I mean, come on. They prepare us to be leaders. Let me tell you a little something. He told me later, he said, you know, I had no choice. The pastor that had started at church says, I'm leaving and I don't care about these people. Giddy up. By the way, he's out there. He's borderline blaspheming the Holy Spirit because he's giving credit to the things of God, to the universe. Got his little Buddha sitting up behind his thing. Looks like a shaman. Yeah. And he used to preach the word of God with fire and vigor. He prayed for people and they got healed. And he's part of the reason why I'm here. Because he saw something in me that nobody else saw. And the ones that did were afraid of it. I'm still trying to figure out what they were afraid of. I haven't done anything that should make anybody afraid. Unless you're trying to hurt somebody. Then be very afraid. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Evil is anything that is not God. Anything. God wants you to be reliant on him. And confidence that you've developed is actually your confidence in him that he will be there. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will protect you. We had several prayer requests from different people about a depression, an oppressive spirit. Yeah, you're right. It's settling in. I get it every week. I quit every week. Then I go out and spend some time with God. I don't know if I should be here. You keep talking about quitting and going nuclear and all this stuff. I don't know. I'm here 22 years later after being backstabbed, lied to my face, cheated out of things. So you tell me. I'm not seeking my own. I could have had a doctorate in theology. You'd have to be calling me doctor, pastor. Then if I started another church, you could call me doctor, pastor, bishop. Jeez, give me a Pentecostal break. There are people doing that, just FYI. But that's them and God. I'm going to tell you right now, that's the hardest thing for me to do is to let go. That's them and God. And I pray for them now. I pray for these people. That's not my monkey. That's God's monkey. He can deal with them. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. It has a physical a result in our bodies. Do you understand that? When you let go of that and let God be your all in all. It's not promising the devil's not going to attack you. Like I said, this discouragement and depression, it hits me often. And everybody thinks, well, I got to change things. Yes, I got to change and get back to God. God doesn't want me to hurt people. But when I get like that, I just want to cut all ties with people. Wrong answer. It's not about me. It's about him. And about the time I get to thinking I'm so smart, I end up flat on my face. Things I thought I knew, I get to read in the Bible, and he says, here, read that again. That doesn't say what I was taught. And I've been in the church since 1978. There's not a whole lot of people in here who can say that. The majority of my life, and some of it is flat out garbage. Because I've seen those people fall. And when I see people in error now, God's told me I have got to pray. I can't sit there and judge them. I've got to pray for them. So what you need to do is to seek God with everything that you are. And quit thinking that you know more than you do. As I said before, I've told Angela, I said, he's doing this wrong. He should be doing this, this, and this. And he should have. But it wasn't my spot. It wasn't my place. I kind of wonder, had I prayed for him more? Would he have? He went through some things after that. Bad things. Would he have gone through those? He was a good teacher. But a pastor is something totally different. Pastor has to teach. When my boys would tell me, Dad, that's the wrong way to do it. Let me show you how to do this. I always loved working with new guys. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You get the new guy in, he's wet behind the ears and, you know, I'm going to show you how to do this. He gets in there and, oh, Lord, son, you just go ahead, knock yourself out. And then when you revive them, because they did knock themselves out, don't tell the person who's doing it how to do it. You know, I'll listen to Johnny on how to run electric and stuff. He's got the experience. Am I going to listen to my wife? I love her, but no. She's anointed for other things. Jesse's anointed. He knows metal. He's a great welder. I have no idea where it came from. He wanted to weld the fenders back on my trailer one time. I said, no, you don't know how to weld. 6 months later, the kid takes top honors at his class weld. I'm like, yeah. Oh, by the way, you want to know what happened to my fenders? They fell off. Yeah. Wood, he doesn't quite comprehend that it's not the same material. So he builds things according to how metal can be built. Cheap case in point, if he's watching, the large roll of plastic that we hung 8 feet in the air that was actually a bunch of bags. I mean, it was this big around. The thing weighed 40, 50 pounds. Piece of conduit, 2x4 going up, hole in it, and a screw. We were upstairs in the barn and we heard this awful noise just to go downstairs and find that thing in pieces. Because he didn't understand you can't put wood in that position. Wood has to come from underneath to support. Metal, all day long, weld it, it'll hold. But you see, you have to know that. And I was letting him make his mistakes. Unfortunately, if I'd have been underneath that, that would have cost me. But you see, God lets us make those mistakes. God let me make those mistakes so that I remembered what it was like. If you're spinning your wheels, it's not God who's the problem. You're not giving him your all. You've got to let go. Quit telling God how you think things should be done. Lord, this is how I created the earth. Listen. There ain't a person alive that fully understands. And about the time they think they do, oh, we discovered another particle that we were unaware of. That's why I tell you, pray for the president, pray for your leaders. There's things you don't know. There are things we don't know. Benghazi disgusts me, but I wasn't there. I don't know all the hard decisions. I don't know the truth. There are things that have happened, I mean, particularly in this group, we got Vietnam, and they know. It wasn't always what they were being told. Even active duty is not what you're being told. People are dying, they're being told it was a training accident. A lot of training accidents. Our government lies. And you want them to. Because you can't handle the truth. That's not being cliched. You really can't. There's a reason we haven't decided to just light Putin up. It won't be good. Do you know the Marine Corps is the only group, and they used to be the ones that never fully hit their goals. Just read an article. They surpassed their recruitment goal by 21 people already. They're usually short. The other branches are short. They're not going to hit their recruitment goals. So I think it was like 1% of the population ever enlisted. That's going down. Well, this is what I would do to make things different. Yeah, I know. I know. This is what they should do. We got one coach, two. We got a couple coaches in here. Now, I mean, I always question some things. We all do, right? If you're a coach and, you know, and your kid is involved, you question, why did they do that? It wasn't until I started running the chain gang, getting on the chain gang down there in football. Boy, does the view change. Up in the stands, you're like, I saw that. He did that. The coach on his side, he didn't do nothing. He's clean. The ref is like, he's clean. It was clean. But you're like, he was holding. Then you run to chain gangs and you're from me to Sydney away from the football game. And you see, oh, he's just a hoss. He wasn't holding. He's just that much more powerful. It's clean. One of Jesse's last games, they hit him for offensive targeting. How do you target when you're the running back carrying the ball? So they created offensive targeting. A week later, I get, after Jesse's done for the season because he got checked for another concussion, the coach from Bucyrus sends our coach the video, and he says, your boy is just a train. He won that fair. He won that fight fair. He didn't target. That was the textbook hit. It just hit that kid so hard. But the other side was screen targeting. I know the mama was, because they put her boy in a helicopter. By the way, if you're going to play with big boys, you're going to get big boy injuries. But, see, the coaches, it happened right in front of them. They saw it. The ref was on the other side that threw the flag. The ref that was behind him didn't. That was a foul. That was a foul. Ref's like, no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. All those years playing basketball. He wasn't traveling. Listen, we've bent the rules so much to make things. We got this European bouncy thing going on. The NBA, what are you allowed? 4 steps? You can travel. Let's make a set of rules and stick with them. How about that? But you don't know what is what until you're there. And to tell God how you, what you think about the situation, get it off your chest by all means. And then shut up and listen, because he's going to tell you. Quit overthinking it. You're making it harder than it has to be. And I used to do that. I used to be, oh, we got to get this. And then I had to learn to fly by the seat of my pants. And I'm going to tell you right now, I like doing that a lot better. Just get it over with. So understand, seek God in all things. Lay your agenda down back here and leave it. Lord, I'm called to minister as others have not ministered. I have no clue what that means, but here's what I think it means. Yeah, that works. When I was 16 up through 19, I received 3 words. I've shared this before, and I will wrap up. And the man said, you will stand before kings. I didn't know what that meant, really. One of them asked me, you know what that means? I wasn't going to be stupid. I walked around ignorant. And I think I came across this before, and then the other day, it was just kind of like it was one of those V8 moments. I think it's in Proverbs. See, if you see a man who excels at his work, he will stand before kings. It's right there. And the word excel does not mean be glamorous and glitzy and glorious. It means the man who does his job quickly, who gets to work, will stand before the kings. Whatever God has told you to do, do it. Pick your feet up and march. Quit dragging your feet in something that God has said, I want to bless you. I want to free you up from the chains that you've been dragging. Religion is dead. The one thing I can tell you about God is he's alive. You know why? Because he told us in Jeremiah, live beings can't think. Or, I'm sorry, dead beings can't think. Let's get that right. Dead beings cannot think. Dead men tell no tales. But God said, I know the thoughts I think. He knew all along, Tim. He knew all along your daddy was going to move. For those of you, I want to share just a little bit, you can tell other people. He's been estranged from his family because he had to take a stand. The details are none of your business. And so his family cut him off. He wasn't welcome. They wouldn't talk to him, nothing. And then lo and behold, God sends one of his children into a store, into a town that the father's not usually in. And then bop, 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 bop. And last week you spoke. And he said, let's not worry about the past. This is paraphrased. More than 10 years. About 15. Hadn't spoke to his father. Because his father wouldn't speak to him. But you see, Tim's not the same person then either. Don't. God, why aren't you just miraculously restoring all my relationships? Well, before you got saved, I got a feeling you couldn't have really, truly navigated it safely without God. He's changed. He's a different person. See, it's God's timing, not ours. It was God's timing on so many things for this ministry. The hardest thing I had to do was to forgive. I had to forgive church leadership. And my last pastor was one of them. But he wasn't the main one that I was struggling with. God dealt with the other two. And so if you wonder why, oh, Pastor, you need to deal with this. I'll deal with it when God tells me to deal with it. I'll just tell everybody that right now. If you're wondering why something hasn't happened, it's because it's not time. If there's something that needs picked up around the church, say, Pastor, why haven't you picked that up? Feel free to bend over. Well, there's trash in the driveway. I think it should be picked up. I think your butt should have hit the brakes, put your car in park, got out, went over, picked it up. I do it all the time. I may be responsible for this, but this is your home too. Let's keep it clean. All right, let's stand. I want you prosperous. I want you happy. I want you joyful. I want people to look at you and be envious. And you say, but I don't have two nickels to rub together. Some of those are the most envious people to be envied. They aren't worried. You know, we were talking about people with Down syndrome. There's no guile in them. They're just genuine people. They ask questions that other people are like, don't ask that. But we secretly wanted to know. They love. There's nothing wrong with them. Yeah, the development had a hiccup. They are who they are because God allowed it. I've got a nephew. People are trying to, we need to pray that off of him. No, that's who God made him. And Noah will be a joy. Not only to this side of the family, but to the rest of his family. Because he won't be secretly hiding animosity. He's going to struggle at some things. And other things, we're just going to sit back and look and say, dear God, why can't I be more like him? We look at somebody that's got something a little bit wrong. You need to pray that God removes that from you. One of these days I'm going to address something that's in the Bible and what was the mindset back then of certain things. But understand that God still heals. I got no meniscus in my right knee. It hurts all the time. Two pinched nerves, both sciatic nerves, and both legs are pinched. Ears ringed, sometimes I can't hear. God, you said you'd heal. He said, do you trust me? I said, yeah. I said, I'll just keep marching. Oh, yeah, and I'm having to wear these things. I'll wear them. And if it means I have to remain humble, then that's what it is. So, yes, I think about it when you're standing for long periods of time. Yeah. We should do what we do. But in 22 years, it has been a pretty good trip. There may be days I want to quit, but I don't. Don't worry about it. Just pray for me. If God puts you on your heart, there's a reason. You need to pray. It may not be because of what I'm dealing with right then. It may be what that I'm helping somebody else go through. My heart has broke for many of you, and it has rejoiced as I see God's promises. Somebody started a lie about somebody else in this church, brought legal issues against them at their place of employment. Yeah, they got to digging, and we knew it was a lie. God brought it out, but they still had to walk the road. My heart broke for them. Just slap them around a little. But you know what? They need Jesus too. Before Christ, I was no better. None of us were. And I love watching you grow. And I love watching you get to the point where you think you know, yay! And then God says, hang on. This is just the first climb. I remember the first real roller coaster I rode was with Rob. I just had a hot fudge sundae. Anybody guess what roller coaster it was? It was the corkscrew. Yeah, it's a wonder Rob didn't get decorated. Oh, Lord. I got off and I said, Lord, I will never ride that again. And I never did. But I prayed. We were going tick, 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 tick. And we were in the front car, too. What were we thinking? I know what we were thinking. We want the best ride possible. That's possible there. It's also, you get all the force. Didn't ride another thing the rest of the day. Yeah. But that's the way it is with God. The anticipation, and it's like, oh, what a ride. So today we're going to celebrate. We're going to have a feast, and it is a feast. I saw a Ukrainian flag, so there's a meal from Ukraine. The ratatouille is French. You'll have to read the rest of the card. And I saw spaghetti and a few other things strewn throughout there. I didn't take lids off. I knew what it would do to me, so lots of wonderful food. So let's pray. Father, we are grateful to be a part of your body. And not just a part of your body, Lord, but you called us family. We're now joint heirs. That makes us family with Jesus Christ. And we are family as one here. Father, we may not always feel it. We may feel distance from our family, but we're still there. And we've got each other's backs when we need it. Father, I pray that everybody feels that. That they're not in the fight alone. Lord, but to help us all reach the end of ourselves and to look to you. For you are the author and finisher of our faith. We're not writing the story. We're just living it. Now, Father, I do thank you for these people. Father, those that couldn't be here today. Father, for those that have been here through the years. Lord, I bless them. Lord, I know you'll move in their lives. And Father, I thank you for the fellowship we're going to have today. Father, may your spirit settle and rest. May joy bubble forth. And as we leave here this afternoon, may we take that joy and run with it. And Lord God, I thank you for all the food we're about to eat. I bless it, Lord. Father, we know it is delicious, nutritious, and Father, that it was made with genuine love. Bless that now in Jesus' name. Amen.